So, good morning to you. Disruption continues in the main shopping heart of Belfast after yesterday's fire at bank buildings. Some of the questions we'll ask this morning: what next indeed for the Primark staff? Will the building have to come down? What can be learned in terms of fire safety from this incident? Were you evacuated from the building? We'd like to hear from you this morning. Did it all run smoothly, or were, as the Irish News is reporting, some fire escapes blocked by goods cages? It was a textbook firefighting from the Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service, who've come in for a lot of praise this morning. Some of the questions we'll be asking. So good morning to you. And I suppose the most obvious question people are thinking about today, and they were thinking about it yesterday: will we lose the entire shape of that beautiful building? I want to speak to one of the senior fire officers who's been there, and indeed has been very much across this incident, Officer Alan O'Neill. Alan, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
As group commander, you would have seen significant fires over the years. This was quite a task over the last 24 hours.
It certainly was. When we arrived on scene, you would have seen from the media yesterday that this was an extensive blaze right through the building, and entirely losing those five floors through the building. So it was a very big fire for us to deal with.
So the obvious question is, are we going to lose the structure of bank buildings? What are your thoughts on that?
So at present, we're meeting with structural engineers on site to have a look at the outside of the building to see whether or not they can be saved. Our priority at this stage is actually still dealing with the fire. There is some small pockets of fire within it, and you'll probably be aware as well, there's been internal structural collapse, so it's just about making sure that that area is still safe.
So over the next few hours, your officers go in and continue to dampen down smouldering embers. Is that what the next step is?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Once we get to the point where we can get crews in a little bit closer, we can work at that an awful lot quicker. But at this stage, we still have some concerns that the structural integrity is under question. So we just need to get some confidence around that. And we're certainly working with those on site to address that.
It is worrying when your firefighters are worried and you're concerned about their safety, that the building would collapse on them. I think everyone wants the building to be saved, but reality might state that eventually it has to be demolished.
Well, that may well be the case, but as you said there, the first bit is about making sure that our firefighters are safe and that the public are safe in that surrounding area. We were very lucky, and I think that comes down to the good work from our firefighters on scene yesterday, that we managed to contain that fire to just that building. It was an extensive fire, and there was a potential for it to spread further into the neighbouring properties of Ellerstar and Tesco's. So the crews did a great job of actually containing it just to that one building.
People who probably don't understand one thing about firefighting were saying it took the fire service a long time to actually hose the building. Is that a fair comment from onlookers?
Well, our first appliance was on the scene within less than 5 minutes and started firefighting operations straight away. You may be aware that the fire started on the fifth floor, so it would take a bit of time to actually get hose and firefighting equipment up to that scene. So that would have been a normal operation, but the crews worked very quickly, and indeed we had a number of appliances there within only a matter of minutes of receiving that first call to the incident.
Yeah, I should emphasise that most of the commentary about the Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service is praise, because you're in a very busy area there, and you've touched on it, Alan. If the flames had have started jumping from one building to the other, this could have been an exceptionally serious issue.
Yeah, this could have been absolutely catastrophic for Belfast City Centre. So it was great work, and particularly those first crews arriving in, getting water sources supplied very quickly and controlling it. And that was the first priority, was preventing the fire from spreading. Because thankfully, when we arrived, evacuation process had been well underway, and we were very confident early on that everybody had evacuated the building, which was great news for ourselves arriving on scene.
And also a reminder to people who damage fire hydrants how important they actually are. In the end, you had to go for backup straight out of the lagoon.
Yes, we were using the water sources, and the water service were able to boost the water pressure for us. But just with the extent of the fire, we felt the best option was actually to increase the water and utilise the lagoon. And we used a high volume pump, which is something that we've used a number of times at more flooding exercises. solving incidents, but it worked very effectively for us at that time.
Thankfully, everyone was evacuated. No one has been injured. It seems like textbook dealing with a fire. However, we look at the front page of the Irish News this morning and people were complaining that there had been goods cages on the stairs as they were trying to get away from the fire, and they had to go back up the stairs and come out another way. If people in other premises are using stairs for goods cages, and I can only go by what's on the front of the Irish News this morning, I don't know whether the goods cages were there or not. What's your advice to people who would be using other buildings today and blocking, in some capacity, stairwells?
Well, if we look at what happened yesterday, that fire was extensive and it spread down through that building incredibly quickly. Now, thankfully, everybody was out in good time, and that's praise to the staff that were working in the building. But anybody who owns a similar property, we would encourage you to make sure that you're keeping those areas safe and working within the fire regulations. And if you need advice, certainly we're there and available to do that.
And are staff in line for praise today in the way that they evacuated that building yesterday?
Well, certainly our crews who arrived on the scene were able to get enough information back to ourselves very early on to say that everybody had got out of the building. So from that point of view, it was excellent for us. So yes, certainly there would be praise going to the staff for getting everybody out safely.
And finally, Alan, how long do you expect the disruption in the city centre? Because a lot of other shops are suffering for lack of footfall. How long will it take for you as a professional and the other professionals to reopen the city?
Of course, safety is our priority here. So if there's a potential for that building to come down without control, we need to make sure we stay on scene and deal with some of the small pockets of fire. So we will certainly be there throughout the course of today and possibly into tomorrow. And we will make every effort to reduce the cordon down as soon as possible. But safety of our firefighters and safety of the public will be our priority over the next number of days.
Okay. Group Commander Alan O'Neill, thanks for your time this morning, Alan. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's 14 minutes past nine. Good morning to you. 90-333-1054. So praise there for the staff and how they evacuated the Primark building, bank buildings, and indeed praise for the Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service coming through from a number of quarters here, looking at the texts and the emails as well. And it was about 11 o'clock, just after 11 o'clock yesterday morning, when this indeed started to unfold here as we looked out the window of City Quays. And it's just so sad to think that that building may be coming down, and the cordon will be around it for a significant time, because they're going to have to be absolutely sure that the building is safe and that it isn't going to collapse on top of passers-by. So I would expect disruption in Belfast city centre for some time to come. We look in a moment or two, actually, at the history of that fine building as well. And apparently everything that's up on Google, and of course Wikipedia, that you can hardly ever believe, but a lot of what's up on Google is to be questioned in relation to the history of bank buildings. So what does that iconic building mean to you? Well, invite you to make your contribution, but we'll also hear from some historians and indeed experts in the field with regards to bank buildings that's been there for generations. So what do we really know about bank buildings? The last public execution happened in the doorway of bank buildings, or is that a lie? Can we believe what we read on the internet? Let me speak to historian Gerald Muldoon. Gerald, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. How are you doing?
I'm very, very well. The bank building's building, we've walked past it so many times. I think it's at least 10 years from I've been through the door of it, but we walk past it and I don't think we admire it the way we should have done it. We didn't admire it, but we always knew it was there. And now it's at risk of disappearing. We feel like we're losing a jewel from our architectural crown. So talk us through the history. What can we believe that's on the internet? First of all, answer that question. Was it a scene for public executions in the past?
I think the steps of the door is probably something of an exaggeration, Frank. A little bit further down near Corn Market, there was a gallows there, certainly, and it may be that association, but to say that it's in the steps of the doorway is something of an exaggeration, I think.
Okay, well, talk us through what's on the internet that isn't right and what is right about the iconic building.
Well, I have to say, in reference to the original Wikipedia article, there was very little that I could confirm in the research that I have done since. It's claimed to have been designed by Sir Robert Taylor, and that was really quite close at that time, right about 1787, 1786, right about the time was quite close to the end of Sir Robert's life. I'm only aware of one building that he was involved in Belfast, and that was some time earlier. He tended to confine his work to London and the southeast of England, so the thing in Belfast really only came at the behest of the Earl of Donegal. So I think that that's probably not correct. The thing about it is, Frank, that there were actually three different buildings on the site, and what Wikipedia, the Wikipedia contributor seems to have done is fused different aspects of the three buildings into one and applied them to the building as it exists or existed. And that's really my discontent with the whole thing, because the first building, which wasn't occupied by the Four Johns, was a bank. It was Waddell Cunningham's bank. That particular bank only lasted for a few years. And when the bank closed, the building was converted to housing. That situation pertained for probably something like 40 years. And then the Northern Bank became involved again. I haven't yet ascertained what the Northern Bank did, but around 1855, there was a four-story Italian replacement building which was commissioned by a firm called Hawkins and Robertson, who subsequently became the names associated with the bank buildings as a limited company, and whose name used to appear above the door, which was Robinson and Leland Ferguson. They became a limited company in 1800. And about 1885, under the direction and design of W.H. Lynn, a Belfast builder called James Henry from Clumber Road worked piecemeal from the back of the building forward to create that Dunfrey sandstone edifice that we all recognised and loved. And that continued from around that time until the turn of the 20th century, at which time the facade a version of the facade that we were used to looking to, because it subsequently changed a few times after that. But that facade really began at the early 1900s.
So it's not really as old as we might be led to believe, the actual facade that's
no.
at risk of falling down today.
That's correct. I mean, the national media started off with a 233-year-old bank, and it was neither of those things. And even yesterday, when I was in Castle Place, onlookers were actually quoting that information, 233-year-old bank. And I actually said to somebody, that's an amalgamation of dates. So the bank buildings as we knew it, was never a bank as such. It started off in 1855 as a wholesale and retail emporium by those gentlemen, and that's how it continued in various forms until yesterday.
And was it the residency of a well-known cleric at one point? The residence?
I believe so, yes. At the time, as I mentioned earlier, when it was converted to housing, I think the Bishop's Palace is one of those properties, as far as I know. I haven't been able to find anything that negated that at this stage, Frank.
But you are questioning a lot of what people are reporting regarding the history of bank buildings. You are someone who has a particular interest in the history of architecture in this part of the world. How big a loss will it be to Belfast if that building has to be hit with the wrecking ball?
I think it represents so much in terms of the events of the city centre that have taken place during the life of that building that it'd be a colossal loss. Although not everyone necessarily agrees with that. I mean, Dr. Paul Larmour of Queen's University, whose opinions in these matters cannot be discounted, described it as an ungainly-looking stone-clad brute in a heavy classical mode. And while Hugh Dixon was a little kinder in his assessment as Edwardian freestyle, I think that, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. It was enjoyed, I think, as a building by most people, and I think it would be a great loss to the community in general.
If it does come down, what must it be replaced by? Do we need to build a building that's exactly the same to look at, or should we go for modern shopping?
I think the cost of actually reconstructing it in the same way would be so phenomenal that the £30 million already spent on the Commonwealth House development would pale into insignificance, Frank, to even cut that stone and have it shipped and built. I'm not entirely sure that the skills exist to do that today, to be honest. And I think there would be planning issues as well, because there were various things in terms of, I mean, the planning aesthetics, as Paul Larmour suggested, had left some things to be desired in the eyes of many people, and I think that would be the issue again today.
And of course, it's going to be a gaping hole in Belfast city centre for some time to come. Even if it remains standing, it's a charred, blackened building. It's such a disadvantage to the cityscape, isn't it, that fire yesterday?
It is, without a doubt, absolutely without a doubt. I mean, even if it does survive the rehabilitation work in terms of taking the soot and smoke and stuff off it. Plus, I noticed that there were some peripheral edges that had perished, and the sills had begun to spall and stuff like that. So that there's a lot of remedial work that would need to be done in combination with the cleaning that would need to take place. And that's a phenomenal undertaking in its own right.
It did survive terrorism, of course, in the 1970s or yes. 80s. With a bit of luck, it will still be there for future generations to look at, and we'll be able to talk about it and include this fire in the commentary. But when the fire officers are worried about going in to dampen down the dying embers because the building might collapse on top of them, then you begin to worry, and you begin to think this might be the beginning of the end for what many of us would see as one of the oldest buildings.
Absolutely. I think the advantage in the construction, it used cast iron piers internally, and when those bombs went off in 1975, part of the survival of the building was due to that Victorian anti-fire design using those cast iron beams. But I don't know whether the heat of the fire yesterday would have enabled those to survive effectively. Yeah, and that's the judgment that needs to be made now by the engineers.
Yeah, I think that yesterday's fire was much more severe than the fire 30 or 40 years ago. Jared, it's a sad day. It's a sad day for people who are interested in the architecture of Belfast. But we should also be very, very thankful that we're talking about a building and not about people. And we should take some grace from that.
Absolutely.
Jared, thanks for your time this morning. Thank you. Historian Gerald Muldoon talking to us on the programme. Your opinions are very welcome. 90333105 077 66 105 105. This is the Frank Mitchell phone-in. Now, I'm going to speak to some people on the programme. Thanks very much for the calls in relation to this issue. So many of you are hugely disappointed that the building may disappear entirely from the area in the city. But yesterday morning, when we were here on the programme, looking out the window from the studio at City Keys, we became aware that something certainly was developing. I'm just looking out the window. I'm trying to figure out what they're burning in the city centre in Belfast, because there's a huge plume of smoke over the city. This is a significant fire with large plumes of smoke rising from the main shopping area in Belfast at present. We've had two calls to say that that fire is linked to the Primark building, which is one of the most prominent buildings in the city centre. So we'll bring you more about that as soon as we have it. Now, just confirmation from Ricky that people are telling us that it is a fire, at least in the vicinity of Primark.
People are telling us that the top floor of one of the buildings there seems to be on fire. A lot of smoke and some flames. Like, the emergency services seem to be evacuating people from the area.
Well, it's the very top of the building's on fire, that whole general area. It's on the very, very top floor of the bank buildings.
Yeah, well, no, we were just behind Castle Court, and we saw it develop. There seemed to be a couple of firemen there sort of trying to suss out how bad it was, but it took off very quickly.
I want to go to the city centre now and speak to Ricky, who's there at bank buildings where this fire has taken hold over the last half hour or so. Ricky, eight appliances on the scene at the moment?
I can see at least six here from where I'm standing, just right in front of the building. Looking up at the roof, there's just smoke billowing out of the top of the building. A lot of smoke, which would suggest a relatively substantial fire.
Your number one team for news. This is U105.
A major fire has torn through a Primark store in Belfast city centre. The top floor of the listed building was engulfed in flames shortly after 11 o'clock this morning.
The whole roof just seems to be, you know, totally gone now, which is just a real pity.
I was walking along Royal Avenue and I seen smoke coming out of a building, and I had to alert the security man on the front door that there was a fire in the building, and then he let the alarms off.
That security man did a very good job. So too did that person who was speaking to Ricky. That contributor actually made another point to Ricky, and it's worth noting. Smoke was coming out of the building and flames were coming out of the building, and this gentleman alerted the security staff, who did very good work. Other people just started to film it. They didn't do anything at all. They didn't ring the fire brigade. They didn't take any steps to ensure that people would have been evacuated. They just began to take photographs and film it and not intervene at all. It's interesting how people do react in this 21st century age. Let me speak to William, who is in the store. Morning, William.
Good morning, Frank.
William, it's a sad old morning that the building's in jeopardy. It looks like as if we might lose it.
You raised a couple of issues there. The last one about people taking photographs. I was in the building about 20 minutes before the fire broke out, and I was coming out of Tesco's, and I noticed the smoke at the top of the building, but the building was already being evacuated. But my main point was this morning was, you mentioned it at the start of the show about the disruption of the traffic in the city centre, and they avoid the city centre, but it's impossible to avoid the city centre if you're using public transport to get from one end of the city to the other. You have to go through the city centre. So there's been no report from TransLink of any disruption to the bus service in the next few days.
I must double check the information from TransLink. I did pick up somewhere on the breakfast show, but I'll double check this, that the bus stops would be in slightly different places and the buses wouldn't be able to access some of the areas that they previously would access. Obviously, a bus that would be driving past bank buildings can no longer drive past bank buildings at this present moment.
Yeah, I know that.
Moment.
Yes, yeah, I know that. But you know that's the cause was. Another issue you mentioned a bit in the news broadcast this morning, about you thought people the reason why the fire broke out was because some people were blocking the fire escapes with these cages. Now I've been in Primark a whole lot of times, and you know the staff are constantly blocking idols with those cages and just walking away and leaving them.
Well, obviously the work has to be done. We don't want to overstate this. This is a reference to a story in the Irish News that people who were coming down the stairs couldn't get past some goods cages that were on the stairs. It's a story in the Irish News. We're not going to suggest that they can't move the cages about the store to stock the shelves. My goodness me, you're well entitled to do that, or you'd never get the job done in a store. I want to speak to Glyn Roberts, who's got a point to make, and representing the Northern Ireland Retail Trade Association, and very much across the inconvenience to everyone who's trying to turn a pound in the city. Good morning, Glyn.
Good morning, Frank.
It's so disappointing, Glyn, isn't it? First and foremost, that 100 people are out of work at this present moment in time. An iconic building may need to be demolished. Thank the good Lord no one was injured, and well done the Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service, and indeed the staff of Primark and the security guy and everyone who raised the alarm for the steps that they took. Well done to all of those people. But this is a major, major blow to the city, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a tragedy for the store, for its workers, and for our city centre as a whole. And people forget that this is one of the most popular stores in Belfast city centre. It generated a huge amount of footfall for the surrounding traders in the city centre. And I think it's also a very iconic building. Many of us grew up with that building. It is one of our landmarks in the city centre. And I hope that the facade can be saved. And I think that another thing we need to focus on is it possible to relocate a possible Primark store elsewhere in the city centre? But I think that I think that we also need to remember that 100 people are potentially now without a job. And our thoughts need to be with them and their families at this difficult time.
That Primark store seemed to be very popular and successful. Was its location part of the attraction? If you were selling Primark goods in some other street, in some other part of Belfast, in a different shape of building, would people still be drawn to the Primark product? Or was it the experience of bank buildings that made it just the perfect day out?
Well, I think that obviously it was a very accessible store right in the retail core of Belfast city centre. I think that certainly was clearly helped. But Primark has been a retailer that has been growing steadily over the last few years. It had a good recession. It was able to sell, many discounted clothing, but also have a designer edge to it. So it actually went down very well with consumers who didn't have a lot of disposable income or buying maybe a lot of their T-shirts and stuff for their summer holidays in particular over the last few months. So it is a very popular store, and I hope that it can be relocated elsewhere into the city centre. But, you know, obviously what we'd like to see the facade or at least bank building in some way maintained, because it is a very iconic building. We need to remember that our built heritage in our city centre is very important, for the look and the profile of our city centre. But, you know, what we do need to now focus on is how do we help the staff? How do we see if there's alternative site or store within the city centre that we can relocate Primark?
But you're spoilt for choice, Glyn. Are we not? If Primark really want to relocate, they could do it within the next month. I'm not saying they should do it within the next 24 hours, but there are buildings in the heart of the city. The British Home Stores building springs to mind. Could they not go in there? Is it not as easy as that?
That's possible, but I understand that you have another retailer going into that site. Now, I don't know whether it's the entire BHS store, because, again, that was a very big store. So we'd need to look at that. But what we do need is the council, government departments, and the various retail bodies working together to see how we can move this situation forward. I mean, it comes just on the back. We had a bit of good news there about House of Fraser store being saved, and then the next week we have this terrible tragedy. But I have no doubt that Belfast and Belfast City Centre and its retailers and traders, they will bounce back. They're a resilient lot. This has been a terrible day. But what we now need to think is not look at the past, but look how we can move forward and how we can help those workers, how we can ensure that we do have a Primark store which continues to generate all of that vital footfall that the city centre needs to move forward.
When 100 staff lose their job overnight like that as a result of a fire, but the company is still vibrant and has many other outlets, do the salaries just stop? Is that the end of the road for paying your mortgage from Bank Buildings Primark, or are you protected in some way?
Well, I'm not sure what arrangements or contractual arrangements that Primark has with their staff. That would be very much a question that they would need to answer. I would hope that maybe in the short term, because we're obviously in the run-up to, we're starting to be in the run-up to Christmas, that they may find at least temporary employment elsewhere in other retailers within the city centre. I think that's where we need to get all of those retailers together and say, well, where are the vacancies there potentially for these staff to be re-employed? Maybe even on a short-term basis, run-up to January. But I think what we've got to ensure is that we help those workers. And I think that I'd be fairly confident, given the number of retail vacancies that are in the city centre and elsewhere, that it might be possible to help a great deal of them.
Okay, Glenn Roberts, thank you very much indeed. I want to speak to Bobby Carson, who's on this line. Bobby, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
You're an employer, Bobby. You feel that these 100 jobs, people will find work?
I think there's a lot of work out there for them, maybe not in retail, but as an employer myself, I have vacancies for staff. You know, it's not the end of the road. It's coming up to Christmas. There's a lot of places looking. You know, just to let people know, you know, I do. Castlereagh Cleaning Company are hiring. And if it suits anybody that was working at Primark to come, we'll interview them and hopefully we can give some of them a position.
And do you find it difficult to actually secure staff or to find staff who commit to the cleaning business?
Yes.
And might that be because it's much harder work than retail?
It is. It is. But it's very rewarding work. You know, we're out there and we're, you know, helping people who are very busy to, you know, keep on top of their house while they're out working hard, or, you know, the elderly who can't, you know, physically do it anymore. You know, so it's very rewarding.
And if someone has lost their job recently, whether it be through that fire or a person who is just searching for the next turn of a pound, you are employing at this present moment in time?
We are indeed, yes.
Okay,
we're expanding, and yeah, we've got quite a lot of positions there.
Okay, what's the name of your company again?
It's Castlereagh Cleaning Company.
Okay, Castlereagh Cleaning Company are looking for staff. You might be sitting at home thinking you can't get a job. Look them up, and this could be your day to secure some work. Bobby, thank you. Robert, very kindly yesterday, whenever the fire started, I came on the programme when I was looking for information. I could see the smoke, the very embryonic stages of the smoke. It just looked like someone burning rubbish from the distance. And Robert was in the vicinity of the city centre, and he very kindly gave us a witness description of a first-hand account of what was happening. And he's on the line again. Robert, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. Frank, we're all very disappointed that the old bank buildings in Primark is practically gutted. You know, when I initially seen the smoke at the top of the building and the fire service going up a turntable, said me there might be a bit of a chance here that it'll contain at the very top of the building. But unfortunately, as things went on and the winds, I know you're a weather individual, the winds started to pick up a bit. So obviously it deteriorated from that point. Frank, but basically what I'm on here this morning for is very, very simple. I think, you know, I believe that the City Council, as we speak, are having an emergency meeting. My honest opinion, you know, I know it's down to the fire service and all the relevant bodies to make a decision why the building's going to be bulldozed. It looks very likely that the building's going to be bulldozed. But I would like, hope the relevant bodies are listening. There is two landmark buildings, land empty and Belfast City Centre. One is the White Bank at the corner of Royal Avenue and North Street, and the other is the old Transport and General Workers Union, which is now Unite Union at the corner of High Street. as a person that works the city centre, I think if the relevant bodies maybe step up to the mark. Now, Premark has given 40 odd years service to the people of the greater Belfast area and right across the whole island of Ireland, and tourists from all over the world have been in and out of Premark. So my point here, very simple, Frank, is, at the relevant bodies, I hope they stand up and be counted. And Premark has given 40 odd years of paying their rates, et cetera, et cetera. I think the City Council could step up to the mark. And, I know that the City Council are highly in the black financially. They're not in the red. They could buy on behalf of the Lake of the White Bank at Royal Avenue and North Street, or they could buy the old Transport and General Workers Union and get the actual workforce that was working on Premark to get stuck in, and let's have DR ships on it and let's get it up and running Premark before Christmas.
So you'd like to see them transfer to one of those iconic buildings? Well, they could transfer to any building. I thought part of your argument was that we need to protect the iconic structures in Belfast, and maybe that is what you're saying, but there's nothing that can be done for bank buildings if it isn't safe. It has to come down. The protecting of other well-known landmark buildings is a separate issue. But British Home Stores, the empty space there, it's crying out for the likes of Premark staff and their excellent product to be in there, to be available for Christmas. Maybe from a landlord point of view, that isn't possible. But you tend to be sadly spoilt for choice in Belfast. There's so many vacant buildings. It could be a smaller Premark, but there's a demand for Premark in the city centre, I presume. However, would people still seek it out and go to it if it wasn't in the flash building that was bank buildings? Were people drawn to Premark because the product is very good, or were they drawn to it because they loved going into bank buildings? I'm simply not sure. When was the last time you shopped in Premark, Robert?
Well, Frank, I've shopped in Premark a few times in the past. Truthfully, I went up the upper stairs, that was the clothes section, and I actually got trousers and shirts, et cetera, in the past in it, And I find, and sometimes, to be honest with you, I went in and got different items in around the ground floor, and I bought the odd lottery ticket and stuff like that there, out of it. So there was a lot of occasions I was in and out of Premark when it was suitable for me to do.
Okay, so you are a customer. For the rest of you, do let us know, do we need a Premark absolutely in the city centre? Is it part of the beating heart of Belfast? Or was it simply somewhere you went because of the beautiful building it was in? What is the attraction of Premark? Do let us know. 0289 033 105. We're heading towards the news at 10.